This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hold on to your panties! The party is about to begin!
I can hardly wait!
I love this show.
Check one, check two, check three.
Are we ready?
Check four.
You know what? Enough talk. It's showtime.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now, 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
First of all, let me say that I love your show. I mean, you're the bomb.
It is the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Hope you're having a great Thursday. Or maybe it's winding down, you're on your way home from work. Hope it was a good one. You can watch the live stream of the show. Not when you're driving. It's on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Tonight on the show, we have got, oh my gosh, we have got so many things to talk about. First of all, we have Beach Boys tickets to give away. They're going to be at the Frays on Monday night, July 1st. And today is Thursday, so we have second row seats to give away. Second row seats. And as I've been saying all week, close enough that Mike Love can spit on you. So we're going to give those away. Just be listening for their classic Good Vibrations. Also on the show, we've got, this is a crazy story. I saw this on WHIO.com. A guy in Vermont who was arrested for flipping the bird at a cop. And it went to court, and he ended up winning. So we're going to talk about that. Also, we've got a Dumb Ways to Die, Florida Man. We've got some Elvis in the news, and I'm excited to talk to Ron Otto about this a little bit later because he's a big Elvis fan. So we're going to talk about, and I am too. I am also a Elvis fan. So we're going to talk about that. But around 4 o'clock this afternoon, a little bit after, if you were outside, did you feel kind of a stiff breeze? Something just sort of out of the ordinary. You're just standing around all of a sudden. Did you feel anything unusual? No? Well, just after 4 o'clock today, an asteroid nearly missed Earth. Now, that's, I'm just exaggerating. But, okay, we get it. Wow. Asteroid 2011 UL-21. One of the largest space rocks ever detected by NASA's Jet Propulsion System, or laboratory, passed by the Earth. 4.1 million miles closer than it's been to our planet for the last 110 years. That's pretty, I mean, it's close. When you think about it in the big scheme of things, that's close. This space rock is between 1.1 to 2.4 miles wide. And it happened just after 4 o'clock today. Now, you couldn't see it with your naked eye, but it's up there. And they said the asteroid is larger than 99% of known near-Earth asteroids. So I'm just saying, like, if you were outside and you thought you felt something weird, maybe it was that. Maybe it was the asteroid. Who knows? It won't come this close to Earth again until 2089. I won't be here for that. I don't think anybody in this building will be here for that. I don't know. Ian, you think you could make it to 20? You think? All right. Well, let's see. Let's see. So that happened today. I saw this story today, and this is, this is breaking the law news, but this is...
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
I don't...
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
We've had a couple of stories of instances where wives have poisoned their husbands on the show. And we've talked about this a number of times. And each time, There's a moment when the husband tastes something unusual. It doesn't taste quite right. But then he continues to consume it anyway, which is like a very guy thing to do. As long as it's not rotten, like rotten food or moldy food, you just keep eating. Or in this case, drinking. Cops in Missouri say a woman repeatedly spiked her husband's Mountain Dew with Roundup weed killer. Now, there's a reason she did this. Not that there's ever a good reason for trying to poison your spouse, but there's a reason for this. And the reason will astound you, I promise. The husband told investigators that he became afraid for his life when he made the startling discovery at their Lebanon, Missouri home. So a while back in May, he first noticed that a couple of 2 liters of Diet Mountain Dew that were in their garage refrigerator. I've always wanted a garage refrigerator. Those are great. You know, I've got some friends who have a garage refrigerator. Those are just the best, especially with parties. You can keep all your beer out there and doesn't get in the way of all the other stuff in the fridge in the kitchen. That's great. He first noticed in May that the 2 liter bottles of Diet Mountain Dew tasted weird, but he drank them anyway. I love that. They're just kind of odd. I mean, I've never tasted Roundup as far as I know. So I wouldn't know what it tastes like, but I would guess that it would be not pleasant in any way. And I don't think I would keep drinking. But after a couple of weeks, he started having symptoms of a sore throat, coughing up brown, yellow, thick mucus, diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting. Some people actually experience that with Mountain Dew without Roundup. Yeah, it's an acquired taste anyway. He then realized the 2 liter bottles tasted different from a smaller bottle he drank out of. So he reviewed video footage from his garage. Probably a Ring camera or something, you know. Video showed his 47-year-old wife take the soda bottle and Roundup bottle into the house. Out of shot of the video. So he had no idea what she was doing, but he saw her take those items into the house. Even when the husband put new unopened bottles in the fridge, he noticed they were eventually tampered with, to the point where the Roundup bottle in the garage was nearly empty. So over a period of a couple of months, this woman was dousing his Mountain Dew with Roundup, and apparently he just kept drinking it. Cops questioned the woman, and she said no. She admitted that she did it, but it was an accident. She said that she mixed the Mountain Dew and Roundup to use as a weed killer that she saw on Pinterest. A recipe for weed killing on Pinterest. Though eventually she admitted to cops that she did it purposely because they were having relationship issues. But here's the reason. Not because they were having relationship issues. She told cops that she was mad at her husband because she had thrown him a 50th birthday party and he did not seem appreciative enough. Wow. She was charged with first degree assault and armed criminal action. How is that not like attempted murder? I think if you attempt to poison someone, the point of it is to kill them, right? She pleaded not guilty. She's due back in court next week. But here's the question. Is there any coming back from that, you know, in a relationship? I mean, a lot of relationships, they've survived many very traumatic things, whether it's infidelity or, you know, all kinds of things people deal with. But that, I'm not sure. I don't think I could come back from that. I would feel like I can't trust this person. And I bring that up because the last story we had about a spouse trying to kill her husband with poison, he didn't want to press charges. This was a guy that was in the military, serving overseas. His wife and kid was there with him. She was trying to kill him, came back, same deal. I think it was for insurance money. He found out, but he didn't want to press charges. But the cops were like, well, you really have a choice here. She tried to kill you. Very, very strange. But yeah, every time to time we get a weird story like that of, you know, a wife trying. And it's the story, honestly, most of the time, it's usually a wife trying to poison the husband. I see those stories more often than the other way around. I think poisoning is sort of one of those, it's like a female weapon. I don't know how many men would actually go to that extent, right? I think the women, a little different, a little different. 937-457-1290. We also had a car into a house. This came in late yesterday during the show, and I got confirmation, so we're going to talk about that coming up.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T. Oh.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
You ain't going to want to miss this.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290. Or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Start the car.
You crashed your car.
In local news, a spectacular car crash.
Car, house, car.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7, when we had another car into a structure. This happened yesterday. We got the tip late in the show last night, and I wasn't able to get confirmation before we went off the air at 7, but I eventually got it. Down in Middletown, just after 5 o'clock yesterday, vehicle crashed into a house. There's pictures of this, by the way, on WHIO.com. Officers arrived at the scene. The car and the house were on fire. Witnesses on the scene say the drivers, several subject people in the, looked like a minivan, took off running from the car. The car was traveling and hit another vehicle. The vehicle at fault fled the scene at a high rate of speed. Prior to losing control and crashing into the house. One person was transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. So if you're keeping track, that is number 65. And
our name is Tires.
Of course, our list
Unlimited.
Brought to you by the good folks at Tires Unlimited. You can check them out at TiresUnlimited.net. They got a store in Moraine, and they got a store in Troy. So thank you, Tires Unlimited, for sponsoring our list. 937-457-1290. Tim in Beaver Creek. What's up, Tim?
Thursday evening. Greetings, Todd. It's been forever.
You know what? It's so funny. I was thinking about you the other day, because I know I won't mention it on the show, but I know at least you did. When you called before, the company that you worked for as a courier, and every time I see one of those vehicles, I always look to see if it's you.
Well,
so I was thinking about you because I saw one the other day.
Well, fortunately, it still is, and I'm still with them. I just had a lot of health problems. I'm over them.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I went to a weight loss clinic. I've lost 45 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, has the weight loss
really
affected your jokes?
I hope not, because, of course, that isn't why I called.
That is right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
I checked out a new restaurant over in Indiana, and the server gave me the most confusing menu I've ever seen in my life.
No, really?
She walked past, it's terrible. As she walked past me, I said, excuse me. She said, can I help you? I said, yes, I have a question about the menu, please. She said, the men I please are none of your business.
Wow. Oh, I'm getting a thumbs down and some evil looks from my producer and Ron Otto about.
Oh, that's a top shelf right there. That's platinum. That's gold. That's whatever.
Anyway, did you have a comment about the poisoning, or was that just a ruse to get on?
Actually, I did.
Oh, okay. Let's hear.
And it's logical. Women are patient. They're willing to poison you over time. If a man wants something gone, he wants it gone.
That's a good point. They're patient, and they probably also like watching you in agony.
Well, I didn't want to mention that. I thought I might get some dirty looks or a thumbs down from someone.
I got you. All right, Tim.
Well, hey, great to talk to you. Keep up. And that guy that called yesterday, one of them, he didn't know jackpot about your radio show.
He didn't. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Be safe out there. 937-457-1290. Coming up, I'm going to talk to Ron Otto. I've got an Elvis Presley story.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
Don't hesitate to call.
You call me.
You better call me.
Damn it, get me a phone.
Call me on my radio.
I'm gonna call you.
You got him on the radio?
You won't make a simple phone call?
What is wrong with you?
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoes. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoes.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Live stream is up and rolling. You can take a peek on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Ron? Are you down there? Are you available?
Sure am.
Oh, hang on for a second. I gotta hit this.
Ron!
Threw me off there, man. You didn't put the explosion in there.
I know. Like, I kind of did it backwards. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question for you.
Mm.
What size shoe do you wear?
Ten.
Do you really?
I do. Sometimes 10.5, because shoes are like T-shirts. You know, one says an extra large, but it's actually a large.
Right.
You know,
right.
But about 10.5, something like that.
Probably 10s, shoes that are like older shoes.
Okay.
Now, I guess what I'm trying to say is,
what, do you get some older shoes out there you think would look good on me? I mean, what,
Well, yes, okay. I do. Right. And when I saw this story, I immediately thought of you because I know that you are a big Elvis fan.
That's right.
You love the King.
Mm-hmm.
And do you happen to have facts or any trinkets or collectible type things at your house?
Not really.
Not into that, or has the wife said no?
It's
no velvet Elvis paintings.
It's the expendable income that comes with having to get that sort of thing.
No, I understand.
Although I do have some albums from. Okay. I have a nice little album collection.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, going up for auction this next week at a British auction house called Henry Aldridge and Son. Mm. They are debuting their Elvis auction, and it's going to be his exact blue suede shoes going up on the auction block.
Really?
Yes. Oh. This is interesting. The shoes, which are a size 10 and a half.
Yeah.
And stamped with the Nan Bush brand, were worn by Presley both on and off stage.
Hmm.
Presley wore the shoes while singing I Want You, I Need You, I Love You, and Hound Dog on the Steve Allen Show back in 1956.
Whoa.
And according to the auctioneer, Elvis gave them to a friend by the name of Alan Fortas in 1958.
Fortas.
Fortas, there you go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Before leaving for the U.S. Army. Wow. And the shoes have been authenticated by Jimmy Velvet,
okay,
a close friend of the King's. And that's a cool name, by the way. Jimmy Velvet.
Yeah.
He's also the founder of the Elvis Presley Museum. But these are going up on auction. Starting bid, $69,000. $69,000.
Bank, but I'm thinking I'm a little short of that.
Maybe you can get a loan.
Maybe.
That's just the opening bid. They figure that these will go for about $150,000.
I was going to say about six figures. Whenever I think about this stuff that comes up for auction, though, my first thought is, shouldn't that be on display at Graceland or the Smithsonian or something?
Maybe so, but, you know, so much of there and museums like that, you know, I just wonder if it's just a pair of shoes. I wouldn't put those on the same level, though. I mean, I get Blue Suede Shoes, and that is almost his signature song. I mean, it's in the top five, right?
Well, it's where he, I mean, he wore them to the Steve Allen
show. Yeah, yeah.
And that's a legendary
But I don't know that I would compare them to the Ruby Red Slippers.
No, I wouldn't.
You know,
yeah,
and those I think are in the Smithsonian. One of the pairs are.
Yeah, I believe so.
But you know what? I go to thrift stores all the time, and I see shoes like that, suede shoes, old suede shoes. You could probably pick some up for a couple of bucks and just tell people that you that you bought the Elvis blue suede shoes. Nobody would know the difference. And you could wear them around.
Yeah, the problem would be if I tried to sell them or auction them.
That's true.
Without some documentation.
Well, you never do that, though. You don't sell them. You just keep them in your house, say, oh, yeah, these are the blue suede shoes, and nobody will ever know.
That's true,
just lie to your friends and family.
Make up a big story.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. Would you wear them? Like, if you were able to buy them, would you ever try wearing them?
Gosh, I'd be afraid to.
Maybe,
Afraid of, you know, I'd wear them out, and, you know, somebody would step on my foot.
Yeah, yeah.
Or somebody would spill a burrito on it or something.
Oh,
you know, I mean, that would be my luck.
There's probably grape jelly or peanut butter on the
like a magnet. Sure. They would just suck the thing right up on it.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how much they go for. They're saying an estimated $126,000 to $152,000. I bet they go higher.
I bet you they may 175 maybe.
Maybe so. I'm telling you that is like such an iconic item of his.
Yeah.
Just because of the song.
Yeah.
If he hadn't done Blue Suede Shoe, nobody would care. They're just shoes that he wear.
They'd only be like $50,000.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you for that, Ron.
All right.
Well, this other story, this is also on WHIO.com. I don't know if you saw this story, but it has to do with a guy flipping off the cops. Now, I am not suggesting or encouraging or, you know, giving any impression that this is appropriate behavior. It is not. But this, I thought, was kind of interesting. This happened in Vermont. It happened in 2018. This guy's driving along, 57-year-old guy named Greg Bombard. Cool name. Greg Bombard. He's driving along, and all of a sudden he gets pulled over by a Vermont police officer. And the cop comes up to the window and says, "Can I help you? Do you need something?" And the driver's like, "What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about." The officer says that he saw the driver flip him the middle bird, or the middle finger, flip him the bird as he was driving by. So the cop is just, you know, hanging out, watching traffic as they do. And he sees his car go by, and it looks like the driver's flipping him off. Well, the driver's like, "Well, I didn't flip you off. I didn't gesture or say anything to you." And he says, "Maybe you thought the way I was holding my cigarette," because I guess the guy was smoking, "it looked like maybe he was flipping him off." And I could see that. I mean, I don't smoke, but I'm holding a pen right here in the studio. And I guess, you know, like it could appear like you're flipping somebody off. 100%. So the cop says sometimes that is a signal from people who might be in trouble. and they're trying to get the police officer's attention. And I thought about that, like, well, that's interesting. I mean, if you find yourself maybe carjacked and you're driving by a police officer and the person's, you know, kind of keeping an eye on you, say, you know, keep going, you know. Don't look at the cop, but then you kind of hold your arm up and flip them off. Maybe that would be enough to incite a response and the cops would come after you. But here's the thing is after the cop let him go, after he was convinced, I guess, that the driver didn't actually flip him off, there were some words exchanged, some heated words exchanged during that initial stop. As the driver was pulling back in the traffic, apparently at this point he does flip off the cop and says something snide to him, some, you know, vulgar comment. At that point, the police officer pulled him over again and arrested him for disorderly conduct. So they take him to the police department. They book him. They take a mugshot of the guy, and then they issue a press release. They issue a press release to local media because they arrested a guy for flipping off a cop. So right there, that's a bit vindictive, right? I mean, let's be honest. You shouldn't be flipping off a cop, in my view. You shouldn't be doing that. But if they busted you for that, they're just trying to make an example of you and ruin your life by putting your mugshot out there. And as we know, and we see them all the time on WHIO.com, people who get arrested, their mugshot goes up there. There's people that look forward to this every week to see the new gallery of mugshots of people that have been brought in for a variety of crimes. Some people look to see if they know anyone. Some people look just for kicks. Because there is quite the menagerie of criminals, and some of the mugshots are quite memorable. But anyway, that's what they did. They did it intentionally just to kind of mess with this guy. So he sued. He sued the police department, and he sued the officer. And he won. He won $175,000. A settlement. Because the court said that, yeah, that's it's free speech. That's free speech. Flipping somebody off apparently is free speech, even if it is a cop. Who knew?
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T. O.
Double D.
H.
O. Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
This is a job for Weenie Man.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Fasten your seatbelts.
We are under attack.
Because here we go.
Tesla!
Electric.
It's a revolutionary new technology.
Quite a fancy car you have here.
Futuristic. It's terrifying.
That's the problem with new technology.
You're not the only rich guy here with a fancy car.
Get out of the way!
Gonna save the world with zero fumes.
Woohoo! Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. You know, earlier this week, we talked about a recall with the Tesla Cybertruck. It came out last fall, I think it was in October, and they've had a number of recalls on this SUV that looks like a, candidly, it looks like a steel trash can. And I think it's like 110,000, something like that. Well, they've had a couple of recalls, and we just talked about it, and that's why this story here caught my attention, and I shared a link on my Facebook page. You can go and read the full story and see video as a Tesla Cybertruck driver who had just purchased the car 4 hours before. He's had this $110,000 SUV for 4 hours. 4 hours. And it's all caught on video. He's leaving his driveway. He's going down a little shallow hill, and then he's going up a bigger hill. And you kind of follow on video. You kind of see the car go up the road. And then all of a sudden you hear, apparently, the brakes on this Cybertruck somehow failed, and he crashed into a house. 4 hours after getting his Cybertruck. Video shows the excited driver slowly rolling out his driveway, but then the 6,800-pound truck dramatically picks up speed as it makes its way downhill. I guess there's some issue with the gas, either the gas pedal getting stuck under a piece of trim inside the car, but he says that something went wrong with the brakes. So who knows what the issue is, but this car he just bought 4 hours earlier, the repairs, he said, $30,000. $30,000. So I'll be interested to see if Tesla comes out and says, yeah, that's a problem, we're going to go ahead and fix it, or if this guy's SOL.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T. O.
Double D.
H.
O.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
All right, so time.
Can we get the show on the road?
I've been waiting for it all day.
And not a moment too soon.
Listen to talk radio?
This guy, Todd.
Monday through Friday.
5 to 7.
He's weird.
Best thing on the radio!
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now, 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
That's hot.
That's hot.
That's hot.
So hot.
Personally, I think it's hot.
That's hot.
That's hot.
So hot.
Oh my God, that's hot.
I think it's hot.
That's hot.
That's hot.
This is hot.
It is so hot.
That's hot.
So hot, right?
I think it's so hot.
It's so hot.
It is the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Live stream up on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. I invite you to watch if you'd like. It's another dimension to the show. Not just watching it, but interacting with all the crazy edge heads who are on the live stream. There's always conversation going back and forth. Comments about the show, comments about each other, insults. Love it. A lot of fun. And during the commercial break, the show continues. I interact with the folks watching the live stream. So this is what I'm saying. It's very interactive. Coming up before 7 o'clock tonight, we have another pair of tickets to give away for the Beach Boys. They're going to be at the Fraze Pavilion on Monday night. You can still get tickets. July 1st. These tickets that we're giving away tonight are second row seats. Second row. Tomorrow night, you'll want to be listening. We have front row seats. That's very exciting. So tune in for that and be listening for good vibrations. Also, I need to mention this. This is also something to put on your calendar. It's the first for the summer. The first Evening Edge happy hour is going to be taking place on July 11th at the Slappin' Lizard Tap House in West Carrollton. Now, this is exciting. We did a couple of these last year. I'd hoped to do more, but we couldn't put it together, make it happen. But we've got one scheduled here in a couple of weeks. Slappin' Lizard, 2082 South Alex Road in West Carrollton. And I'm going to be doing the show live. Now, if you're not familiar with the happy hour, basically, you just come out, you hang out with other edge heads, you listen to the show, you watch the show there in full living color in person. We'll have some prizes to give away. We'll have a lot of fun banter. And it's just going to be a really cool night. They're celebrating their one-year anniversary there at the Slappin' Lizard. And it's really neat. I was there a couple of weeks ago, and it's what they call a self-pour tap house. They have this gigantic wall, this huge wall, of about 50 different brews that you can try. And you get a little card, like a little credit card kind of thing. You go up, you swipe your card, and you pay by the ounce. So if you want to try this beer and you just want a couple of ounces, you pour it, you enjoy it, you go back for something else. You could try something else. And they've got domestic, they've got, microbrew, all these different things. They also have wine, they also have cider, they also have seltzer. And non-alcoholic drinks. Plus, they've got food. They've got a kitchen there ready to serve. So make plans. Put it on your calendar. It's a couple of weeks away. July 11th. It's a Thursday. And it's going to kick off their weekend first-year anniversary. So I'm excited that they've asked me to be a part of it. And I'm excited to have all the edge heads out there. I think it's going to be a good time. 937-457-1290 is the number if you have a comment on anything that you might hear. Or maybe you've observed something and you're like, I got to tell Todd about this. I saw this story and I'm trying to figure out, you know, this story has to do with former Reds pitcher, the old left-hander Joe Nuxall. A beloved figure in baseball, and especially here in southwestern Ohio. And, of course, you know, he died a number of years ago. But he was a longtime announcer for the Cincinnati Reds. Now, here's the thing that I'm struggling with. And I would like, honestly, I would like your opinion on this. So, one of the records, and he wasn't, I mean, candidly, he wasn't like a great pitcher. I mean, he was a good pitcher. He was a major league pitcher, but he wasn't like a Hall of Fame pitcher. But he did a good job, you know? But one of the records he did hold was that he was the youngest person ever to appear in a professional Major League Baseball game. On June 10th, 1944, that was 80 years ago, this month, at the age of 15 years and 316 days, he became the youngest player to ever appear in a Major League Baseball game. Now, that's pretty impressive. He was from Hamilton, Ohio, and he got signed to play for the Reds. And it wasn't a great outing, his debut, but he, according to the story, he entered the game in the top of the ninth inning with the Reds trailing 13-0. So they were already screwed. They weren't going to win that one. The first batter, I don't know if he struck him out, but he retired that batter. Then he walked the next batter, and then he got another out. But then he walked another batter, and then somebody hit a single, and then three more walks, and another single. And finally, management had seen enough. You're out of there. He allowed five earned runs in like half an inning. So, not a great outing, but he was the youngest to ever appear. However, last month, Major League Baseball announced that they were going to go back, and this is where I struggle, if they're changing history or correcting history. And to me, there is a difference. They announced that they were going to include Negro League stats into the Major League Baseball record books. Now, this is something that many people have supported, that the Negro Leagues, the players in the Negro League, were just as talented, just as capable, and in some cases better than their contemporaries in Major League Baseball. That's 100% the truth. As somebody who knows baseball history, that is 100% the truth. The Negro League was not a step down for Major League Baseball in terms of talent and quality of play. It was not. But because of this change, they announced that Nuxall, Joe Nuxall, the old left-hander rounding third and heading for home, is losing his record status. Because Hall of Fame Brooklyn Dodgers catcher Roy Campanella, who eventually played for the Dodgers, played in the Negro Leagues professionally on June 22nd, 1937. You know, several years before Nuxie. But at the time, he was 15 years and 215 days old. So he literally was 101 days younger than Nuxall. So now, the youngest baseball player to ever play Major League Baseball is no longer the beloved Joe Nuxall. It's now Roy Campanella. In that year, he played in six games, which was more than Nuxall played, because when Nuxall had his debut, you know, it didn't do well. And then I think he went back to the minors right after that. Yeah, it didn't. He didn't pitch again in the big leagues until 1952. So we're talking 8 years until he got back. And lasted until 1966. But, you know, I don't know how I feel about this. Because I am a baseball purist. I love stats. I mean, that's how they measure one player against another, one team against another. Is this changing history or is this correcting history? And there's a fine line there, right? Because this particular story and what's happening here, I think could be considered in many other things that we have dealt with in our country. Where, well, they just want to change history. Well, are they or are they correcting history? Are they adding an element that was intentionally ignored? And I think about that. I guess this wouldn't be that big of a deal, story-wise, at least for me, if it wasn't Nuxall. If it was some other announcer from some other team, maybe I'd be like, oh, well, that's interesting. But all my life, growing up as a Cincinnati Reds fan and listening to Marty and Joe and hearing him all the time, meeting him one time in my life, you know, he's a special place in my heart. And I remember hearing the story that he was the youngest to ever play Major League Baseball. So I'd just be interested what your take is on that. Because it's, I mean, it's kind of sad, you know. His name is not going to be in the record book anymore. And you can't go in and put an asterisk and say, well, you know, he was the youngest white player ever and Campanella was the youngest black player ever, because that'll cause problems. But I'd be curious what your take is on that.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Get a load of this guy.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
The Beach Boys are going to be at Fray's Pavilion Monday night, July 1st. If you'd like to win a pair of tickets, be the fifth caller, 937-457-1290. And we will hook you up with a pair of second row seats. That will be fun. Close enough that Mike Love can spit on you. That number again, 937-457-1290. This is exciting. We have Panda News. I say we have Panda News. San Diego's newest giant pandas are on their way right now from China to California. This according to the Chinese state media. This marks the first time Beijing has granted new panda loans to the United States in two decades. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or so. They had come to an agreement. Though I thought they were going to the National Museum in Washington. I'm sure that's the story we had. Maybe they're also getting some new pandas. The two pandas, Yun Chuan and Xing Bao, left the China Conservation and Research Center for the giant panda in Sichuan. Oh, I love that Sichuan. That's province last night, taking a chartered flight to their new home. Well, of course, they're not going to put pandas on Delta or something in coach. Heavens no. They're going to get their own chartered flight. To ensure their health and safety, the team prepared meals of fresh bamboo shoots, fruits, vegetables, and a cornbread called Wotow. Wotow. So this is kind of cool. San Diego Zoo, they're going to get their pandas. They were given a celebratory farewell at the Chinese base, and they received gifts. I love that. The pandas got gifts. But the pandas won't be viewable to the public for several more weeks while they acclimate to their surroundings and, quite frankly, Americans going to the zoo. China loans pandas to more than 20 countries under a program often referred to as panda diplomacy, and fewer than 2,000 giant pandas remain in the world, according to the World Wildlife Fund, which lists the species as vulnerable. So next time you're in Southern California, head over there to the San Diego Zoo and you can see Yun Chuan and Xing Bao.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up.
T.
Double D.
H.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny. On WHIO.
Don't give me that politics jazz. It's not my racket.
People are tired of hearing nothing but doom and despair on the radio.
Everyone just relax, all right?
The problems of the world are not in my department.
Now who'd like a cookie?
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5-7. Live stream is up and rolling. I got this story from Edgehead Kevin. He shared this with me on Facebook. I'm surprised that the liquor store where this bottle of whiskey was stolen from would have it displayed in a way that somebody could easily swipe it. So here's the story. A thief with expensive taste is on the run from police in Melbourne, Australia. Apparently, he walked into a liquor store and stole a whiskey bottle worth $62,000. A bottle of whiskey, $62,000. The man apparently struck up a conversation with a female staff member and requested to look for at a number of bottles of alcohol. When her back was turned, the thief performed his sleight of hand, grabbing a bottle of Johnny Walker Masters of Flavor from the shelf and hiding it down the front of his shorts. Is that a bottle of Johnny Walker in your pants? Or are you just happy to see me? The man then left the store. Police have released the CCTV images of the person, hoping that someone will help them find the suspect and the $62,000 $62,000 bottle of whiskey. I'd be curious to know, anybody listening, if you have an alcohol collection, whether it be wine, whether it be whiskey, whatever it might be, what's the most expensive bottle of whatever that you have? Are we talking 100, a couple hundred bucks, thousands? I'd just be curious if anybody wants to brag. I don't know anything about whiskey. I drink it sometimes, not my favorite, but I'd be curious to hear if anybody's got a collection like that. Sherry and Troy, what's going on, Sherry?
Well, you were talking about the baseball record, and I do think that that is a condition that should have an asterisk with it. Because in my professional career many years ago, I had the opportunity to meet several both Major League and Negro League pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
One who was a Cy Young Award winner, one who lives here in the local area.
Okay.
And the other one was Jim Mudcat Grant that played in the Negro Leagues.
Okay.
The Negro Leagues were so poorly treated and everything was disregarded that they did.
Yeah.
No matter how well they played, it was ignored. So I think that they, and I can tell you that none of them ever said, we should have separate records, and none of them ever said we should combine the records, but they just felt that everybody should have been treated fairly.
Oh, sure. Equal. Yeah.
So I think that if you combine the records, you could simply put the asterisk there just to denote that it was in the Negro Leagues and it was in the American Leagues, but the records were basically equal because that's what they really want.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%, Sherry. And you know, the more I thought about it, and if people don't know the story we're talking about, Joe Nuxall, beloved announcer for the Reds, at one time held the record for being the youngest person to ever play professional baseball at age 15 and 316 days. And then last month they decided that they were going to add the Negro League stats and records to the Major League Baseball stat and records catalog, if you will. And he's losing his that stature because another player who, Roy Campanella, actually was like 111 days younger when he made his professional debut in the Negro League. So that's what she's referring to. I agree, you know. I wonder, though, because this, and somebody on the live stream made a great point about this, is that this is not a statistic as far as ability. You know, it's not like hits or home runs or stolen bases or anything like that. This is somewhat of a kind of an ancillary record. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with his ability. So I don't know that it's that big of a deal that he's no longer going to be known as the youngest person to ever play professional baseball. But I get what you're saying. I mean, I feel like there should be room for both. I mean, both did it at different times in different leagues, and it's just sort of reflects the culture at the time.
Right. And both of these players that I'm talking about were of Joe Nuxall's era.
Yeah.
So they all knew him and stuff like that. And there was never anything said about, you know, that Roy Campanella should outrank Nuxall or that Nuxall should outrank Campanella, because we would spend the evening having dinner and drinks and stuff like that and mm-hmm. talking about all kinds of things baseball. I learned so much from all of them, especially Mudcat, about how awful they were really treated in the Negro League.
Oh, yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
You know, but he was wonderful and was totally appreciative of what he'd had in his life and just loved baseball.
Gotcha. Thank you, Sherry. I appreciate your call and your insight. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a good one. 937-457-1290. We have a Florida man.
Florida man shines with every single crime. Stupefying and delicious. Some might even think fictitious. Florida man is always ambitious.
So in the last week, and including last night, we had a story, and the conversation came up. Is this a new trend where people who are who find themselves in the public having a meltdown of some sort as some sort of release or psychotic break, I don't know, where they strip their clothes down. They just, in the midst of an argument or a confrontation with someone else, they just strip. We've had three stories like that in the last week. Now, this Florida man story, not quite, but almost. Almost. And I'm just wondering if this really is a new trend. A Leesburg, Florida man was arrested over the weekend after he allegedly flashed a driver during a road raid incident in Lake County. The 56-year-old guy was arrested. His name, Jim Box. Jim Box, 56, was arrested and charged with exposure of his sexual organs after the incident unfolded Sunday afternoon. Oh, on the Sabbath, no less, for crying out loud. Cops spoke with the other driver, who said the suspect reportedly swerved around them and cut them off. The driver of that Kia was later identified as Jim Box. At one point, Jim Box allegedly threw objects at the other driver's vehicle while screaming. Further down the road, the suspect allegedly got out of his car and began to charge toward the other driver and began pulling his shorts down, exposing himself. Now, how do you do that when you're running? Ian, my producer tonight, I'd like to see you run down the hallway and while you're running, drop your drawers. Okay, he's going to try it and see if we can. Can you do it while you're running? That's the question. Yeah, let's see it. All right. I think we need some music for this. I know this is all going to be theater of the mind, but no, we did he already do it? Here he comes. Here he comes. Well, that was unimpressive. You did it though. You did it, but you didn't do it in front of the window. I missed it completely. I think you did it further down. I'll take your word for it. So it can be done anyway. But here's what's funny is the police talked to the two folks in the car, and they advised the police that they screamed and looked away in fear when the defendant exposed himself. Deputies noted that this road rage incident happened on a major street during peak traffic hours. Jim Box was arrested at his home later that afternoon after deputies saw him matching the physical description and wearing the same clothes from the alleged incident. Though he denied being involved in any road raid incidents that day, he was arrested nonetheless. So I guess that maybe that's a new thing now. People who are angry, losing their minds, becoming unhinged, there's an instinct to just take their clothes off. And that is a weird thing that we're seeing.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T.
Oh.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
This guy was smart, sophisticated, professional. I mean, really, really great.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Mark your calendars. Thursday, July 11th. It's an Evening Edge happy hour. That means the show is going to be broadcast live and in person out at the Slappin' Lizard in West Carrollton. That is a huge self-pour tap house. Pretty cool. Of course, the show's 5 to 7 will be there. So will many other edgeheads. And somebody on the live stream said, hey, have Mary, your wife, drive you so we can see you tipsy. What makes you think I haven't done this show a little tipsy? No, I've not done that. See, that's one of the things you can't really do when you do a radio show. You can't come on here drunk. Others have tried it. I've only tried it once, and it was a long, long time ago, not working here. And not a good thing. Not a good thing. Not because you got loose lips. Or you say things, I mean, you just get tired. At least I did. I just got tired. 4 hours on the air, drunk. That's tiring. That is tiring. You just can't do that. Anyway, I won't be tipsy that night, but come out and see us nonetheless. There'll be edge heads, I'm sure, who will be. Once again, the Slappin' Lizard. They've got 50 brews on tap. It's a pretty cool place, 2082 South Alex Road. You can get more details on my Facebook page. There's a link there, an event link, and you can click on it and get all the other relevant info. Also on my Facebook page, if you go to Best of Dayton, Dayton Daily News, Dayton.com, Best of Dayton, they do this every year. They've been doing it for a long time. I'm asking everybody to throw their support for Best High School Mascot to Beaver Creek High School, the Battling Beavers, Bucky Beaver. He has been the mascot for decades, and he deserves to be the best high school mascot in the Miami Valley. And you just go to my Facebook page, click on that. You'll go to the Dayton Daily News link, and it says Around Town. You click on that, and you'll find a mascot. On that same category, or in that subcategory, you will also find Dayton radio or Dayton media personality. And yours truly happens to be one of the nominees. And I think there's like maybe six or seven nominees. A couple of them have won multiple times, so I don't think they should be able to win. A few people I've never heard of, I don't think they should be able to win. But if you'd like, you could vote for me. So, whatever. Have a great Thursday night. We'll be back tomorrow night with a brand new show. And front row tickets to give away to see the Beach Boys on Monday night at Frey's Pavilion. You can still get tickets for that show. So we'll give those away. Have a terrific Thursday night. It's Taco Thursday, I've just been told. Very exciting. So have a great night. Oh, and don't forget, you can get the podcast of the show at eveningedgetodd.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Have a great night.
I'm out of ideas.
He's done. It's over. He's finished.
Sorry, buddy. Show's over.
Say goodnight to the bad guy.
Now give me a kiss and say goodnight.
Good riddance, you loony.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.